Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. I'm your host for this evening's show, Henrietta Bird, and Lynn Greenwich will be joining us shortly. How is everyone this evening? Glad to have you listening in. We have a wonderful discussion that we're going to have tonight about the activities leading up to and leading into the inauguration. So President Obama has been inaugurated for the second time, and we'd like to know how everyone feels about that and what it was like for people who were there, and any other questions or comments you might have. That's our first topic. We're also going to talk about your feelings about Beyonce and her singing at the inauguration and how you feel about that. And a few other things when Glenn gets on we'll be talking about. So as we do always, we begin every show with the Declaration of the International Black Summit. And the Declaration of the International Black Summit is the way the people who are in this conversation have chosen to live their lives around these questions and these declarations. And we'll also tonight talk about some of the declarations and what's available in the summit, what the purpose of the summit is, and what our question is for the year 2012-2013. So let's get started on this evening's show with the Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, unity, integrity, with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our communities, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7, 1991. Chicago, Illinois, January 27, 2013. Above, below, north, south, east, and west, and within. A moment of silence, please. Thank you. And that's where we come from in the International Black Summit Conversation. That's what we guide our lives by. Those are the questions when we aren't sure about something. We can take a look at that declaration and see if we are in sync with the universe, the universe of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. Really interesting. That's one of my favorite pieces of work, the Declaration of the International Black Summit. And I think Glenn is here with us. Are you
I
on,
am.
Glenn?
Okay. I certainly am. How are you doing,
Erin? I'm doing really, really well. I'm with some really dear friends of mine who came in, kidnapped me today, and we're just in the most peaceful place and space. And so they've agreed, three wonderful ladies. Well, actually, one, I notified them. They didn't agree. That's not true. But I said, I'm going to interview you all in sometime during this hour to see what your feelings and things are about the inauguration. So I'm doing well. What about you, Glenn?
I am doing well as well. I am it's a little chilly here in New York, as I'm sure it is in Chicago. Winter has finally arrived, and so we've been dealing with it for the last week or so. Mm-hmm. Although we're talking about temperatures going up to the 40s Wednesday. But that's another conversation. But I'm doing well. I've just been on this cooking spree. Just been cooking my tail off. And,
have you?
I cooked some salmon today, and I cooked some rice yesterday, and threw some scallions in the rice, and just been having fun. Just been having fun, so it's been kind of interesting. And so enjoying the winter. I'm looking at a couple of of warm, cold weather dishes that I can come up with for the next couple of days.
Okay. Well, last night I made a big pot of vegetable soup. And the reason I made it is because, you know, when you've been cleansing for 2 weeks, that's how you come off of the cleanse. You know, you have a day and a half of orange juice and oranges, and then the end of that second day, you drink broth. But
mm-hmm.
the broth has to be from a fresh vegetable soup. So I made the soup last night, and oh, my God, it's so good. The broth is so good. I can't wait to eat the soup, but I can't really eat it until tomorrow. And I can eat a little bit of the vegetables tonight, but I can't really chow down until tomorrow. And I'm going to Soul Vegetarian, a vegetarian restaurant here in Chicago, and get cornbread so I can have some cornbread with it tomorrow evening. With you know, that doesn't have any dairy or any meat products in it.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that's how we come off of it. But Glenn, my friend Karen and I, she did the cleanse also. And you should have seen us making this soup. You would have thought we were making gumbo or something. We had everything. We put cabbage, corn, just cut corn off the cob, cauliflower, broccoli, onion, garlic, all fresh, you know, everything fresh. What else? Peppers, potatoes, celery, a lot of celery you're supposed to put in it, carrots, just kind of every mushroom, and then great northern beans.
Mm.
We put in there. So, and we cooked the beans in the pressure cooker, and then we split them, and I put some in my pot, she put some in her pot. And then we, you know, seasoned it with rosemary and thyme and, you know, like salt-free seasoned salt, paprika, black pepper. She put Italian seasoning in hers. I'm trying to think what else. Some of the Mrs. Dash seasonings, but it's delicious. Delicious. I had so much. I filled 7 small containers and put it in the freezer so I would have it, you know, for another time. And still have plenty for tomorrow, because tomorrow is really the day that you eat the vegetables, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it is really, really good. Really good. Yeah.
Excellent.
So, well, we have, I see we have one caller who usually is a listener, 718-371 number, but I want to check in just to see how are you doing tonight, 718. Are you with us? Okay. All right, probably just listening again. Okay. So let's talk about the inauguration. The second one, actually. The second inauguration of the first African American president. President Barack Hussein Obama. Did you watch it?
I sure did. You know, I thought that it wouldn't be as big a deal because it's the second time, but there was something about it that just was inspiring because it was the second time. The thing that I was present to really had to do with the fact that the second term really said to me, and I think said to the world, that it wasn't a fluke. You know, that he that he wasn't a fluke. That he didn't get in there and just, you know, got lucky. He actually was the man for the job. And you know, and has handled his job. Because one of the things that came up quite a bit was that most of the time that a president is managing a bad economy usually doesn't get reelected.
Mm-hmm.
So the inauguration was more of the celebration of the second term and what he accomplished the first term that had him get to a second term, really, for me. But it was interesting because when you look at the news coverage talked about how the first one he really didn't have a chance to enjoy because he pretty much went to these events and then, you know, left there to go work on the financial crash. So really this one, this inauguration, he really had a chance to enjoy it, to kind of be in the moment and not off worrying about everything else that was coming down the pike. So this one is kind of like, you know, I've done this once before, I can relax a little bit and I can kind of, you know, be in the moment. And so I felt very much so that he was being in the moment and that I was happy for him inside of that conversation for myself and for him and for us as a nation, because it's not just, you know, it's who he is, who he represents, who he has been able to represent as a functional intellectual that he is, and also the president of my country. You know, because I was very disappointed with Bush and you know, what the message that he was sending to the rest of the world. So I've been very pleased with who President Obama has been and how he's represented himself with the class and dignity of a president of the United States. To be honest with you, haven't felt this good about a president probably still since John F. Kennedy.
Right,
you know,
and you were, you know how old you were then? You were young.
I was single digits.
Right. That's what I mean. It's like that was a long time ago.
But there was something about him that his presence, you know, that I was very happy about, that I was very uplifted about. I was very, even though I was so young, I knew that he was for, you know, that he was for people. You know, and then when you think about it, he was the first Catholic president, and that was a big deal. So that was a, you know, that was a monumental thing at that point in time because we'd never had a Catholic president. So there was something special about him, and as I became more of a historian, I really appreciated the things that he had done, some of which he was forced to do, but yet he still, I felt, made the right decisions that were befitting moving us forward.
Yeah. I had an opportunity to go to, you know, the inauguration, and it was, I went to both of the inaugurations, this one and the one in 09, and it was just as exciting. I mean, they say there weren't as many people, but you really couldn't tell that there weren't as many people, you know. You really couldn't tell. It looked like they're the same amount of people.
They said that it was about 800,000 people. 800,000
okay.
people out there, which is
okay.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah, it is. That is right. And just think, it was over twice that many last time.
Yeah, they said. Well, depends on who you talk to. What they were announcing was it was somewhere like 1.2, the first inauguration. But, you know, I'm very suspect when they count our numbers, because the Million Man March and all of the events were undercounted suspiciously across the board. So I'm always take what they say with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
You were there. You were there, so I would take your word on it much more before I take what was publicized.
Yeah, it took us an hour and a half to walk from the parade to the train. All right, and there were three or four. We passed three stations that were packed with people. So, I mean, it was just really interesting. It was just the most exciting experience. You know, it was just so exciting. Well, you watch the same thing. You know, you watch the same thing that we saw. And it's just exciting. It's just so exciting, you know, when they introduce each person and, you know, all of the people, you know, who sit, the past presidents and the, you know, the different people, the different guests that are there. You know, Hillary got a really big cheer when she came out. You know, just that everybody except for one person, and I think that was, I forgot his name, but only one person. But it was just exciting. It was really, really, really exciting. People were up early, you know, and they were out, and they were ready to go because, you know, the only way you could get there was on the train, unless you were an invited guest. But so you had to take the train, and so wherever you were coming from, whatever direction you were coming from, you had to take the train. And so the people on the train, oh God, there's just so much fun. You know, that everybody is nice. You know, you meet the most wonderful people who have the funniest conversations, and you know, you kind of think, you get to hear how other people think. You know, we met a couple from Texas. They were from Austin, Texas. And they had worked on Obama's campaign both times. And so, you know, they come up for the inauguration and everything. And they, we were just on, you know, just on the train talking. And they were talking about the Supreme Court appointments, and they said they had kept sending Obama. They kept sending Obama suggestions, and one of the suggestions that they sent was to appoint Anita Hill to the Supreme Court. And I'm not laughing because she's not qualified. I'm laughing because he could appoint her. You know, like he really could. He really could do that, and wouldn't that be something, you know? And they say that's their thing. It's, that's what they, you know, that's what they always talk about. That he, that, you know, to a point in need of heal. But she's not on the list as far as I know for that appointment, which is another wonderful benefit of his being elected to the second term, you know, is that Supreme Court appointment. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and we are talking about the inauguration. This evening we're going to get some opinions from some other people about the inauguration, and in a little while, maybe in about 5 or 6 minutes, we'll start a conversation about Beyonce and what you feel about her performance at the inauguration. So, Glenn.
Yes, ma'am.
Tell me, like, what's the most exciting part of it? What was the most exciting part of it for you?
Well, you know, there's a couple of exciting parts for me, but I got tickled because, of course, the day before was the actual swearing. And I got so tickled when, after Obama had sworn in, and he walks over and his daughter says to him, you did good. You didn't make any mistakes.
I know.
And all I can think of is my daughter, because that's mm-hmm. sure enough what my daughter would have said to me.
Okay.
So, you know, it just, I was very present to that. And what, you know, it was something to see all of the black faces up there, because he had his sister from Kenya, which I didn't know. Somebody on Facebook actually put the picture and asked who was that standing behind the girls, his daughters, and they said, oh, that's his sister from Kenya. So it was nice, you know, it's like having her there as an acknowledgement, having, you know, just having the different folks, you know, just having some black faces up in there, you know, just,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that was very warm for me. You know, that was just very, very fulfilling.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, all of the poet. Well, there was a white poet there too, but there was being a black poet was there, and just to have the diversity.
Yeah,
that was just, I was just very present to that. And that's who he is. That's his gift.
Uh-huh.
That's
who he represents.
Yeah.
So
that was, you know, those were kind of some of the high points for me. Also, just I guess, you know, I just like the man. You know, I just like the man. I mean, that's, you know, and like I said, I haven't felt this way to a president since Kennedy. And the thing that I liked about Kennedy was his slogan, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. So his conversation, and I would suspect that it must have been similar to what Roosevelt was in taking the depression folks to another level and giving them hope and putting a chicken in every pot and all that kind of conversation. You know, it's like that must have been very uplifting. So I was very uplifted and feel like he's the right man at the helm to take us on our journey.
Right. Yeah. It was really, really nice. You know, it was good to see Reverend Sharpton, you know, and he got a lot of, a really loud applause when he came up. Just many of the other people, it was really nice. I thought that the program was good, and the gentleman who's in charge of the whole inauguration program, I thought his speech was really good. You know, he spoke really, really well right at the beginning about just about everything. He kind of covered it. I was surprised. I didn't pay attention to that last time if he did it. I was really surprised. His speech kind of covered, and it was like a welcome, but it was a really good kind of overview of of everything.
You're not talking about Schumer. You're talking about Schumer?
I don't know his name.
From New York.
I don't know. He's over the whole inauguration event.
Well, there was a senator. Senator Schumer was the chairman of that committee or something, the Senate committee for the inauguration. I don't know if you're talking about him.
He's real festive. He's real animated.
Probably. Well, you know us New Yorkers, and we think we're on Broadway for everything. Everywhere we go, we think we're on stage somewhere. So, you know, we perform.
That must have been him. That must have been him. And it's funny because I did. I said, "Well, he's gonna break out in a dance in a minute," because he was really uplifted and excited and everything, you know. So it might have been him. It must have been him, because I really think he's the only one who spoke, you know, like prior to everything. Everything going on, and Joe Biden. Oh my God! They in the MSNBC. They just love him and Obama. Sometime that week when they talked about the bill for the gun control. Right, the gun control. The man on MSNBC, he said, Joe Biden is by far the best vice president we have ever had. And he just went on and on and on and on to sing his praises. And he was so much fun in the parade. You know, he was running over to the side and jumping around, you know. He was just really having a good time. I said, they must have had a good lunch, a real good lunch before that parade, because they were really animated when they got out of that car and started walking, you know. We did get a chance to see them up front. They got out of the car maybe 20 feet before us, so they walked right past us. They were on the opposite side, but, you know, we got some really good pictures and everything. So it was really, really, really nice. Last time we didn't get to the parade because they said you probably couldn't get through. And we did have to walk, you know, about maybe 30, 40 minutes before we were able to actually walk up, you know, because it was so many people. They just, after it filled up a certain area, they would just shut it down, and you had to go to the next area, which could be two long blocks away. But we did get a chance to see the parade this time, and that was really exciting also, you know. Snipers everywhere. I mean, everywhere. everywhere you turn, there were snipers. You know, when he got out of that car, the security, Secret Service, they came out of the woodwork. They were like everywhere, you know, walking from all directions. They just started heading his way.
But it was great. You know, it's interesting because that was the only time that I actually feared for his life. I was nervous. I was nervous because that would be a great opportunity for somebody to try and do something to him. And I was so thankful that, first of all, nothing, as far as we know, nothing occurred. And that there was a presence there. And it's not that there hasn't been, but I noticed I was nervous.
Yeah. Oh, I felt totally comfortable. I guess because there was just so much security. You know, my phone didn't work most of the time. Most of the day, my phone just did not work. And there were spaces where you could get text messages, but you could not call out. And as soon as Obama walked past me, and it was down maybe a block, then my phone started working. I was like, they might even have a device on him. You know, I don't know, but the security was really, really tight. They had dogs. You know, there were dogs everywhere. And just constantly checking to see, you know, like if there was anything anybody had. The dogs were sniffing it. And the guy with the dogs, he would get so far and he would just say, check, 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 like that. And the dogs would go, you know, they would sniff, sniff, sniff. You know, it was really, I was very comfortable that he was safe, you know, he and his family and everybody else. But I do know, you know, you have to have that kind of security. And they did in some of the Smithsonian's, you had to go through a checkpoint. And I didn't understand why at first, but it's because there's so many documents and things there. And they want to make sure that they're not destroyed, all those original documents and things. So, but it was very, very exciting. I'm going to check in with a couple of people to get their opinions and views, and then we can move on to the conversation around Beyonce.
Okay, by the way.
So I'm coming back. Get opinions of how you ladies, did you watch the inauguration and how you felt about it? The inauguration, what did you think?
I'm not in politics.
Okay.
No, it was not.
But you watched it.
I did.
What did you think about Beyonce and the controversy? I mean, what did you think about her performance? Let me ask you that question first.
Yeah, I like her. She's a person, so I'm going to like anything.
She does.
Yeah. Extraordinary. And she knows her art. She knows her gift. So she chose to record it first. She wants to be impeccable. That's another reason why I like her. She knows her art. I thought she was good.
Yeah.
What did you think? You were there.
I loved it. I loved it.
I mean, did it bother you that she had pre-recorded?
Mm-hmm.
It didn't bother me.
To me, it made so much sense because, you know, I mean, when you think about it, are you seen people who freeze? They get up there and they freeze or they forget the words or something like that. So I thought it made so much sense, you know, that when she did it, that she made sure she wouldn't be in that category, you know.
Right, because it was cold. It really was cold. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I just wanted to check in with some other people. Glenn?
Well, you know, I mean, it's not like it was somebody else's voice.
Right. I know.
You know, I mean, if she was fronting somebody else's voice, I could understand, but it was her. So what?
It was her.
You know?
Yeah.
Plus, like you said, it was cold out there. You know, she didn't want, you know, you want to do your best. So, you know, I mean, I thought it was just, you know, smart on her part to do that. I mean, but I mean, she got ripped. I mean, everybody was, oh, how could you have done that? You know, I'm like, well, you know. But you know they gotta point the finger at something. You know, it can't be just great. You know, it's gotta be something. So I guess that was it. You know, that was the something that they got to point to.
Yeah, it was really nice. And a lot of people who didn't know that she was going to sing had started to walk away because it was at the end. And, you know, everybody came back. It was funny when they saw, then everybody turned around and came back, you know. But it was really nice, and especially with the orchestra or the band, I should say. That was nice, too. And she also videotaped herself doing it, so I don't think it was supposed to be like a secret. Anyway, you know, I think it was just something to complain about. Something to complain about.
Yeah, but I thought all of the performances and all the, you know, everything was, I thought everything was very, very well done. You know, like I really, the thing that I was, I wouldn't say I was disappointed because, I mean, but it was long. I mean, it was a long, and then they kind of extended it to the luncheon, and then they did the balls that night that they went to. So that was kind of that I would have liked to have been at, not necessarily watching that, but the other part was great to watch and great to see Biden's energy and our man Flint from New York City. The weatherman, Al Roker, got both of them to wave and say something to him, and the crews from CNN were yelling and screaming, and they got no response. I thought that was kind of ironic. So I enjoyed that, actually.
Yeah. Al Roker, Mr. President.
Yes, yeah, he got him. He got his attention. And then Biden came over. He says, I can't come over. And then he came over anyway and shook his hand. So I thought, you know, stuff like that kind of, you know, was kind of cute. You know, I enjoyed that. I thought that was, you know, telling, if not anything else.
Well, from the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, we congratulate President Barack Obama on his second term, he and Vice President Joe Biden. God bless you both. And may this term just be better than we've all expected. We just send them light and love and energy and power, knowing that wherever they are, God is. You know, and we wish them the best, the absolute best.
Glenn, I thought that we would talk about some distinctions. You know, at the beginning of the program, I was thinking about some of our distinctions. You know, when I was reciting, generating the declaration, I thought about, you know, like the purpose of the International Black Summit conversation, you know. And the purpose of the International Black Summit is to provide an opportunity for participants, you know, to provide an opportunity for participants. And what, Glenn, do you say that opportunity is that's provided for participants? And to me, this the participant, that's the word, you know, that's the optimum word, that's the verb, you know, that's the action right there, that you participate in this conversation. So what's provided, Glenn?
I think what's provided is access to your visions, access to the things that you're working on, access to conversations and people who are inside of that conversation, who are interested in pursuing that. You know, I get all warm and googly and bubbly about the engagement. You know, I get to, I've found some synergy in some black folks that are interested in what I'm interested in. And, you know, and I think Oren, one of the other facilitators that's my partner, we talk about all the time, is that we just don't engage in conversations about sports or one-dimensional. We explore conversations about social change, about transformation, about what's needed in our community, about economic development, about economic empowerment, financial legacy building. You know, we're able to engage in these conversations in a way that support the empowerment and the betterment of who we are, or who I am as an individual, as well as who I say that I am to my community. So that's the participation that I get. I get to play and engage and to bounce my thoughts and ideas and get thoughts and ideas from other people who've got similar interests.
Yeah, and it's interesting because some of those, you know, what's inviting about the summer conversation is that some of those similar interests is that you don't know until you start to, you know, a day or so goes by and you discover these things about yourself that are just very apparent to everybody else. You know, sometimes you just don't see them, but they're visible to everybody else, you know. And that's another part of what I call the magic of the summit, you know, is just to go to a place and just meet yourself in the forms of all these other different people, men, women, youth. You know, but you get just to see this mirror, you know, of who you are. You know, so
yeah, I love what you said about that you get to meet other physical displays of yourself.
Yeah. Right.
Because it's true. Because it's like, you know, every time I go there, I discover something else that I'm passionate about that someone else is working on or that I'm working on as well. and you want to share some thoughts and share some ideas and take that thought to the next level.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and then we do it together, and we do it all year, you know. We do it all year long, every conversation, every meeting, every conference call. You know, we're in this question or declaration. You all heard me mention before that we have this question every year that we leave every annual event with, and we live inside of this question, or this, we allow that question to live inside of us. And this year, the question is, what is available? No, it's not. I'm confusing it with the year before. What is available when I notice my trigger? Be with what is. And trust that it provides me access to my vision fulfilled. So that's the question this year. You know, and in that question, there's a distinction, trigger, and noticing, another distinction, noticing. Be with what is another. Not distinction, but it's a process. Be with what is.
Well,
and trusting.
You know what? I think that be with what is could be another distinction for us, because we spent a couple of years looking at it. And inside
right.
of that looking, we've gotten in a relationship and an experience of that.
Right.
Which is definitely different than being with, you know, specifically be with what is. And if I look
right.
for myself, that in itself is a very powerful distinction, you know, onto its own. So that if I'm able to now be with what is, instead of all of my thoughts of what it should be, what I want it to be, what I would like it to be, what I'm hoping it would be, and know that that is what it is, then I can actually spend some time and some energy, shift that energy onto, okay, good. So given that, what do I want to do? Because clearly I'm not satisfied, or I could be, and there's something for me to do inside of that, you know, inside of my vision and my purpose.
Right. So we will talk about that more and more, you know, throughout the year. And we'll distinguish it more and more and peel off the layers, you know, of be with what is. You know, my classic be with what is example over the holidays was the virgin birth story. You know, I got so present. The more I heard that story, I got so present with who is the one who really had to be with what is. Joseph.
Oh, right. Yes. Oh, yes.
Okay. Joseph. You know, and trust. I mean, he had to be with, notice his trigger, because clearly he was triggered when he found out. Be with what is, and trust. That to me, that just says it all when we ask the question, what is available? When I notice my trigger, be with what is, and trust that it provides me access to my vision fulfilled. And that's Joseph. That's the whole story right there. And we'll look what's available to parent. Just you know, I mean, 20 with what?
2013 years later. Still the most talked about, the most practiced religion. And that to me is the description. If somebody wants to really know what this whole declaration is about, that's what it's about right there.
Yeah, you know, the thing that's so interesting about the work that we do, we really get to engage in life. We get to look to see what's occurring. And then we get to choose.
Yeah.
You know, and it's in that choice that there's the power.
Mm-hmm.
Because oftentimes we're choosing without knowing that we're choosing. Because sometimes no choice is a choice.
That's right.
And we begin to see that it's all about the choices that we make, and that how we've gotten to where we've gotten to are based on choices and not on somebody else or, you know, somebody did this to me or did that to me. No, no. I made certain choices that have my life show up the way it is. And when I can get clear about that accountability, then I can begin to now mold and shift where I want to get to. And it's different than a past-based conversation. It's a future-based conversation.
Right. Oh. Yeah.
So, this year, the International Black Summit annual event is going to be held in Ottawa, Canada, August 2nd through the 5th. That's Thursday through Sunday. So, schedule your vacations around those days, August 2nd through the 5th. And meet us in Ottawa, Canada, where we will dig a little deeper and take a deeper cut into this question for the year. Join us as we gather with people from around the world and be with each other, like be in this conversation. You can join us every Sunday. You can join us every Sunday here as we continue our discussions on different things. We're moving into February next week, and we have a wonderful year in mind for you, and we appreciate and love you joining us every week. Remember our call-in number, 646-716-9827, and you press the number one button to let us know. Thank you so much for being with us, Glenn. I will talk to you soon. Thank you for hosting this show with me tonight. And God bless, and everyone just have the best week ever. Good night.
Absolutely. Good night. God bless. And continued blessings. Peace out.